at this time. Brother Benda, if you come, and we'll show the video here and give us an update on what's going on in Liberia.
Neither did I know that if I hold the phone straight up, then the picture is going to be like that. But there are a few pictures you're going to see like that. Can you see? Okay. My wife, some play and some won't play. This is just a picture. Okay. My wife does a Sunday school for the new church. Not the Sunday school, I'm sorry, the children's church. And this church is about 9 months old. But it's amazing that we have about 63 kids that come to our children's church. And my wife does that every Sunday morning. And we have a very tiny little classroom because we have not built buildings yet, but we have a little building that we had there. And so the building is where the kids are right now. You're going to see we do not have, like what you have here, windows. Well, I was looking out at this church when we came here. It amazes me that you do not have windows on your church. Well, you have maybe just the doors. In Liberia, we don't have that because there are no lights all over Liberia. 60%, maybe little over 62% of the people of Liberia don't have electricity. So we use what you call the colombo. The colombo is a little brick design that is being made. And then what we do, we put it on the window for ventilation so the kids can have a little good air in the classroom. So this is our school building right here. And so one of the classes is being used for our children's church. And so the colombo is right there. That's me and my wife, and we have the kids coming. Many of these kids come from about 10 to 15 miles, and they will walk every time to church on Sunday morning. It's amazing how these kids will come, and those who can afford it, they will ride a motorcycle. In this community where we have this church, motorcycle is a major transportation. These kids don't have means to come to church unless they can take a bike or they can walk and come to church. 90% of these children go to a Christian school. And they wake up in the morning, about 5 a.m. in the morning, they will start walking in groups just to make sure they can get to school on time. So my wife does the children's church at the new church. And here is the pictures you are looking at right there. I hope next time I will do a good video that you can watch beautifully. And this is the beginning of our children's church. So my wife sits right there, and then we have decks for the school. And then this other window, we have a little steel bar. We put in the window. We do not have a colombo there. And so the kids are coming. They just started children's church, and they will come in numbers. And right now we have 60-plus children that comes to our children's church. In the meal service, we have over 52 adults that are in the meal service, and they also come from all over the area, and they walk and come as well. Now, the picture you are watching right here, we do serve meal. When we go to church on Sunday morning, we'll feed the kids. Because many of the kids do not have means to get regular meal before they can come to school or neither to church on a Sunday morning. We also have a Christian school that many of these kids attend, and we feed them also at the Christian school. Rice is considered the major food in Liberia. You can eat anything else. Once you haven't eaten rice, it means you are not eaten. So you see, we are serving them rice with beans on the rice. We have over 300 kids that come to our Christian school. And these kids, many of them, our Christian school is completely free. They do not pay fees. Our teachers are volunteers that go to our church as well. The ladies are volunteers. We do not pay them. But the kids will eat regular meal. And this is a meal you see right there. All of them, we have 300 of them. So imagine we have to have 300 plates that they all can eat. What is saddening is that we do not have a cafeteria. So they will all eat in their classrooms. We are building one. We look forward to the Lord helping us. In the next couple of months, we pray that we can complete the cafeteria. It should be in this picture. I can show you where we have the cafeteria. But these kids will come in our classroom during school time, and they will eat their regular meal. This is all they have. In Liberia, many of the parents cannot afford to buy food for their children, so we allow them to eat, and this will be probably their meal for the whole day. And that's all they have. So they will walk and go bike home in groups as well. Now, it's starting to also let you know that we have lost some of the kids because of motorcycle accidents. They come to school on motorcycle, and because of that, there's a high rate of falling on the bike. It's sad to ride a motorcycle that doesn't have a shield. If you fall, you are right on the ground. So about 3 weeks ago, we lost a child who was also in the nursery that got killed. And then we have a couple of teachers that also are wounded because of motorcycle accidents. One of the things that caught my attention, this is recess time, and they will all come out and have recess. They were played. We do not have a major playground. We're looking forward to that. A few months back, you remember, you helped us out to get a hand pump. And that's a pump right there. And the kids will use the pump as a source of water on the campus, and also we use that as our church as well, because there's no running water in different parts of Liberia. Now, that's our sign right there that shows the school location and the church location as well. It's a very big community. This community has about not less than 30,000 people that live in this area. This is the only Christian school that we have. One of the sudden things that broke my heart a couple of months ago has to do with a young lady who goes to our church. That's our church here, Julie Alexandra. She's also a missionary to Liberia, and she was speaking to the church and giving our testimony the other time. But we have a girl who comes to our church and also goes to our Christian school. She has five kids. And those kids fell off the motorcycle along with her, and it was a major disaster. And I told my wife, I said, we got to do something about this. And if you may have read our prayer letter in the last 2 months, we've been praying that God will help us to have a van, that we can have these children go to church instead of them walking, instead of them falling off the back, instead of us losing some of the kids, that they will have an opportunity to ride a van to church. And so we've been praying about it, and we said, well, the best way we can do it is to get back to the States and ask a couple of churches that they will help us. Now, you see in that video, there's a motorcycle coming right there. And if any mistake, he hits the rock or something, he's on the ground. And they will fall off immediately. And so this is the road that goes to our church. It's not a paved road. It's a dirt road. I drive here almost every day. That's my regular route. That's my office right there. That's my church right there. That's my school right there. I go every time on this road, and we have had a lot of people lost their lives just from motorcycle accident. 60% of the young men who fought the war in Liberia do not have a job because government doesn't have a job to be given these young people. And we do not have factories. We do not have lots of employment. And so motorcycle is the major employment they have. They will ride these bikes as a means of making some money that they can feed their family. So in this community where we have the church and the school, this is where they use for transportation, the motorcycle. So we're praying that God will give us a van. And so we said, well, the best way we can do it is to get to the States. We may not have an opportunity to visit as many churches, but we can call a few pastors and talk to them and see if they can help us out to get us a van. When we talk about getting a van in Liberia, to get a van in Liberia, which is a used van, it will cost us not less than $20,000. It comes from Europe. They ship those vans from Europe, and then they sell them on the Liberian market. Those are not new vans. They are used vans, but it costs not less than $20,000. And so we came to the States a couple of about 2 weeks now. We've been here, and we look forward to be going back in the next couple of weeks. We maybe will spend like 6 weeks here. But it's amazing. After we came, we were at a church last Sunday, and God blessed us, and we have a van. The church was able to purchase a van for us. So we are excited that we do have a van now. What we need next is to transport the van back to Liberia. And the question is, how do we send the van? It goes by means of the ship. It takes about 30, 31 days to Liberia. It's going to cost us around $6,000 to have the van shipped to Liberia. So we are here to ask you that you will help us. I have never done this in my ministry in the last 17 years that I would come and literally ask like this. We usually put everything in prayer. We've been praying. But we also felt that there was a need that we can come and share this with you, because I do not want to see any more child dying because they have to ride a motorcycle. And I want to let you know that we're going to have this van to Liberia. I believe God, and I know that God is going to make the way that we can get the van to Liberia. As soon as we get a van to Liberia, we're going to show you pictures of hundreds of these children riding that van to come to church on a Sunday morning. Now, it's amazing when you live in a country like the United States, you can never imagine how it looks like in different countries. Not many people have vehicles in Liberia. They cannot afford to buy a vehicle for themselves. When my wife and I came in recent time, when we drive around, I can see a van parking everywhere. You know, we're just coming this morning. I kept showing her, there's a van right there. There's a van right there. And I went online, and I was searching for a van, and you could see some for $1,005. You could see some for $2,000. In Liberia, it's $20,000. That's a lot of money. So we got a van, and we are needing $6,000 to ship the van, to ship the van to Liberia. We have come to ask you because we represent this church in Liberia, and we are your missionary. Our needs are your needs. Our burdens are your burdens. And God will help you individually and collectively as a church to see what you can do to help us out, that we can have this van to Liberia, and we'll really appreciate that. The reason why we're going to be going back very early is because school is still in session. We also have the church. We also have the college going as well. So I need to be back in Liberia as soon as possible. And so we're going to be praying about it, and I pray that God will burden your heart individually, and God will burden your heart as a church to help us out to ship the van to Liberia. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. I will take a couple of questions if you have any, maybe one or two. Yes, ma'am. I'll tell you what, the van we have is a 15-seater van, but I can take 20. No, Ernest, I can take 20 because the kids are not. We're going to take the adults as well, but I would rather prefer the kids into the van and go to church, and then the adults can make their way, you know, later on. If we can make like two or three trips, I can do that. That's better. But I can take about 20 in a 15-seater van. That's not legal. But that will help to easily get many of them together to church. Yeah. I'll take another question if you have any. All right, if there's none, thank you, Pastor.
Song before the message this morning.
And this morning, we're so glad to hear the burden and what's going on in Liberia. So, Brother Ben, if you come and share the Word of God with us this morning, thank you for being here today.
God is good. In my church, we have a way of opening our service. I will say, God is good, and you say all of the time. And then I will say all of the time, and you say, God is good. And we try that. God is good. All of the time. Amen. He's a good guy. Amen. I'm going to do a song entitled, How Great Thou Art. I love the old-fashioned hymn. In our church, we sing from the hymns. And many of our people don't know the songs, but I will take a moment, and I would like to teach them the song. Because the messages from the hymn is so beautiful. And I love it. And I want to do this song entitled, How Great Thou Art. O Lord, my God, when I awesome no wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I heard a rolling thunder, thou power throughout the universe display. Then sang my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sang my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouting of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then thou shalt bow in humble adoration And they'll proclaim, my God, how great thou. Then sang my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou, how great thou. Then sang my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. If you have your Bible, thank you, Pastor, once again for allowing us to come. And we always treat you royally when we are here. I appreciate the smiles. Thank you for the handshakes. Thank you for the great hospitality you have shown us since we've been here this morning. And you have always done that. We are very humbled that we can be allowed to represent this church in Liberia. I was born and raised in Liberia in 1977. There's a missionary by the name of Abel Ganter, and he has come to my hometown, and he was a pilot. He flew a single-engine plane. I don't like flying. I can never get used to it, especially if I have to go as high as 45,000 feet up high. It brings fear, amen. I'm closer to heaven, but I still don't want to go that way because I would have to come down before I can go back up. But Ganter, he have invited me if I would go with him at the youth camp. And I said, yes, I would like to go. And my excitement was because I would have an opportunity to ride in the plane. And so I said, yes, I'd like to go for the youth camp. But Ganter and his two sons and I, we got on a little plane, a single-engine plane, and we went about 1 hour's flight, and he landed. At the time in Liberia, there were no airstrips. They would have to literally build the airstrips with their hands. The villagers would gather, and they would take cutlasses, they would take the hooks, and they would build the road, and he would come and land on the road. And so Brother Ganter landed, and we had this wonderful youth camp in central Liberia. In 1977, in July, Brother Ganter opened the Bible, and he read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And Brother Ganter asked me, he said, Brother Benda, do you want to be saved? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and bled on the cross of Calvary for your sins? And I told him, I said, yes, sir, I would like to know him. And that night in July of 1977, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. At an early age, God burdened my heart that I would work as a missionary. And I grew up and became, and I graduated from high school, and then finally I entered the Bible College. The college was started by the missionaries. In 1989, Liberia was engulfed into a civil conflict. The greed for power and corruption brought a war in Liberia. The war continued, costing the lives of over 250,000 people for over 14 years. Because of the conflict, all of the missionary pulled out of Liberia. As I speak to you, we have just two missionaries that are working along with us in Liberia. Brother Benjamin, he's a Canadian, and he worked in Liberia along with us. Brother Ben has been there 2 years now. Ben was there. He came to visit me about 4 years ago when I was in Liberia. And then he said, Brother Ben, I love this country. I would like to come and serve as a missionary. And Brother Ben and his wife, they are there working along with us. One of the churches that we started, he's working along with the young men in that church that graduated from our Bible college, and he's doing an excellent job. We also have Julie Alexandra. She also helps out with the children's church in that ministry as well. And so I want to thank you all for supporting missionary. The greatest thing you can ever do in your life is to invest in the things of God. Because when all is said and done, everything we have here will stay right here. And the only thing we have to take to heaven will be our testimony. God will inquire of us, what did you do with your life? Your shoes will remain in the closet. The jacket will not go. I love your trucks here in Texas. You have beautiful trucks. They will all stay right here. Only our testimony we're going to take along with us. But if you have your Bible, in the next 15 minutes, let me encourage you from the Word of God for the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And there was a charge given to this young man by the Apostle Paul 2 Timothy chapter number 4, look with me to verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be gathered here this morning. Help us now to go through your word. Bless our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you look at verse number 2. Paul continued to encourage this young man, and he said to him, preach the word. Be instant in seizing, out of seizing, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto feebles. And then he continued to tell Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for thou am now ready to be of offer, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all. Now, that includes you and me. Unto all them also that love his appearing. I love this passage because here we see a young man that was called by God, a young man who was nurtured by the Apostle Paul and given him such a wonderful charge. If you look in verse number 1, he said, I charge thee, therefore, before God. You know what Paul was saying, that God bear witness between you and me. And this was a tax and responsibility that were given to the young man, Timothy. Paul was in prison. At the time, he was in Rome, and his ministry would have now come to an end. And so he wanted to make sure that the ministry would not just end right away, but it would continue from where he would stop the work. And he talked about a young man called Timothy, a young man who was faithful, a young man who was dedicated. He was pastoring now the church in Ephesus. And Timothy was a man that Paul looked up to, that he would continue the work. It was a great charge he gave to Timothy. It was a task to perform. And then he said, I charge thee, therefore, before God. And when you see, it's a compound sentence right there being connected by a connector. He said, I charge thee before God. You can also move the end, and you say, I charge thee before the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul knew that God is a creator of all mankind. That the closest thing to the heart of God is to see souls being saved. We live in a world of 7.7 billion people in all parts of the world. Asia, Europe, Africa, different parts of the world. The population is growing. 7.7 billion. Africa, where I was born and raised, we have, the continent is the second largest continent in the world. It has about 55 countries. In West Africa, where I come from, we have about 16 countries. Out of the 16 countries in Africa, in West Africa, Liberia is one of those countries. In the Liberia, where I was born and raised, we have about close to 4 million people right now in Liberia. 60% of those people in that entire country have never in their lives heard a clear presentation of the gospel message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never. And so Paul knew that there was a responsibility that he was going to leave with this young man called Timothy. Now, when you look at this passage, if you come down to verse number 8, Paul went on by saying, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. How many of us love the appearance of the Lord? Amen. So this charge was not only to him, but to all of us. It was a responsibility given to all of us that we'll do one thing. And that one thing is in verse number 2. He said to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. And the question is, what is the word? The word is very simple. The death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our message. And he told Timothy, that's your message. Preach the word. What is the word? Christ was born of a virgin. He died and he spent 3 days in the grave. He was miraculously resurrected. Death could not hold him captive. The grave would not bound him. God, by his power, brought him alive. He ascended up to the heaven. He sits at the right hand side of God, mediating between God and man. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. And whenever you hear this word, by all means, something has to change in your life. He said to Timothy, preach the word. I charge you before God. He said, God is the maker of all mankind. And God bear me witness that there is a task you have to perform, Timothy. And that task is to preach the word. And not only did he give him the task to perform, it was also a charge that he gave him that he will also be able to continue the work. So it was charged, it was a tax given him, not only the tax, but it was also a charge of continuity. He told Timothy, he said, in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, Pastor was just speaking this morning about false prophets. We have many of them in Liberia. In Liberia, we have the social gospel music, where they will sing the songs just to rise the emotion of people. They are not singing songs unto God's glory, but they are singing music that will rise their emotions. They will enjoy the song. You also have rock music here in America, right? You have the disco gospel. You have the rock gospel. You also have the TV evangelist. You have also the evangelists who go out and say, raise up your hands. How many of you want to receive Jesus Christ, the Lord and personal Savior? And they say, God is going to do this for you in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. False teachers are everywhere. In Liberia, we have so many false gospels. People will predict and say, well, sow your seeds, and God will bless you. And then the preacher will stand, and people will come in their number, and they will pour money on the pulpit as a way of God blessing to people. Those are all false teaching. And Paul knew that those things were going to happen. And so he wanted there should be a continuity of the rightful teaching of the gospel. He said, Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. The word doctrine there means sound teaching. Endure sound teaching, but after their own laws, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And Pastor mentioned this morning that we have the truth gospel. When you go to Liberia, they are the Mormons. They will send young men that are considered missionaries. They will go to towns and villages. In 1998, when I came to the States to go to school at Crown College, the first Bible that I had was given to me by the Mormon. I was watching the television, and then I saw an ad on the TV that says, if you want a Bible, a Holy Bible, call this number. So I actually needed a Bible. So I called the number. So when I called the number, after a day or two, I had people come into my house and they knocked the apartment that we're living in. And then they asked me and said, did you call the number? I said, yes, sir. They said, well, we got you a Bible. And so I went to the Bible. And there were some things that were not, like Pastor said, there were things that were not really satisfactory to me. I said, no, this cannot be a real Bible. And so as I was reading that, I have studied a little bit about the work of Joseph Smith. And so I knew exactly that was not the rightful Bible. I studied about how he got the word, how the angel appeared to him, and how everything like that. So I knew a little bit about it. So when I read the Bible, I realized that it was not the rightful Bible. And so I did not continue reading it. And then I called Dr. Sexton at Crown College. And Dr. Sexton sent his son, Matt Sexton. And Matt gave me this Bible. This Bible is falling apart, Pastor. Look at that. I had this Bible for a long time. And Matt Sexton came and he gave me this Bible. It's a Scofield Bible. And I love this Bible. I had it because this is the rightful word. So Paul was saying to Timothy, you need to have the rightful word continue to preach it. And all of us here, that's a charge we have. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, we have a charge to continue the rightful word that we have heard. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, he said to the believers in Corinth, he said, I gave unto you that which you believe. And that which they believe was the rightful teaching of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Paul told Timothy, that he will continue the rightful teaching of the gospel. I want to encourage you this morning, let you know that when we are in Liberia, I preach from this very same Bible. I preach in English in Liberia. English is considered as our most communicable language in Liberia. We have 16 different tribes. I can speak a little bit of almost everything, but I will read the Bible. A few years ago, we used to have the Bible translated in some of the local dialect. But we have a missionary and his wife who were executed because they were, well, caught up in an ambush when the war was going on, and they were the interpreters of the Bible. And since the past, we have never had any missionary back in Liberia to write the Bible in the local dialect. But I preach from the King James Version. I preach from this very same Bible I'm preaching from. And so Paul encouraged Timothy, he said, preach the word. It was a charge of continuity. It was not only a charge of continuity, but it was also a sacred charge. He said, preach the word. It's amazing how God would trust a man to give him this word to preach. The word of God is powerful. Amen. All of us here can give testimony of how we heard the word. I just shared with you this morning how I heard the word. And when I heard the gospel, it changed my life. The Apostle Paul said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. For all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. The word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. It pierces the heart of men. Whenever you hear God's word, you have to be convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. God convicts your heart. If you were a drunkard, you have to change from drinking. In Liberia, you know, when I came to the States at first, my wife and I have gone to this church, and there was an usher who ushered us in. And the lady, it was a Baptist church, but I didn't know the difference between the Southern Baptist and the Independent Baptist Church, but I wanted to go to a Baptist church. So I went to this Baptist church, and there's a lady who ushered us in, and then I saw her puffing. And then she took a little drag of a cigarette. And then I turned to my wife and said, I don't think it's right. Now, don't get me wrong. People would do that. People still believe they are saved and they can smoke. But I don't believe that. I believe if you are saved and you are genuinely saved, God did not put a sheen on your head. If God wanted us to smoke, you're going to put a little sheen on right here. Like there can be a little path right here. Wherever you walk, it rotates and then the smoke will pop up. But God didn't do that. So I feel that the scripture also tells us that our body is a temple of God. We should keep our body clean. We should keep it holy. So I told my wife, I said, no, I don't think this is the right place for me to be. And so again, then when I called Dr. Sexton, and when Matt came, and Matt invited me to Timber Baptist Church. When I went to Timber Baptist Church, when I heard Dr. Sexton preaching, and when I sat in the Sunday school classes, I said, wow, this is the right word. Because he preached against everything that is ungodly. And so the Apostle Paul is amazing that he said, preach the word, because he knows that whenever the word is preached, lives have to be transformed. It has to be continued with it. It also was a charge that is a secret charge. Paul wanted Timothy to know that he has to live a holy life. The word of God is holy. When we are Christian, we must learn to live a separate life. We cannot be a believer and live like an unbeliever. We must live a distinct life. We must live a life that will bring honor and glory to the Almighty God. Because we are the salt of the world. We are an example. So Paul told Timothy at one point, be that an example of a believer in your word, in your conversation. So whatever we do, we should portray the glory of the Almighty God. So there's no doubt that Paul began to encourage Timothy and said, you must not only have a task to perform, you must not only continue the work, but the work that you are going to continue, it is a holy work. And that's what we do in Liberia. I love and encourage my people to live a life that will bring honor and glory to the Almighty God. We must live a life that is distinct. Our conversation should be different. Our friends should be different. We should know who we can associate ourselves with. The Bible says, be quick to hear, but what? Slow to speak, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. So God wanted Timothy to do the right thing. Paul wanted Timothy to do the right thing. And here's the testimony he gave him. Look in verse number 6. In verse number 6, Paul said to this young man, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Look at verse number 7. I love that. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then he went on by saying that, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. You know what that day is? The day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which shall receive crown of glory. There'll be billions of people from all, in fact, trillions and trillions of people from all over the globe that'll be gathered before God's presence to receive crown of glory. I look forward to the day that I will see you there. Amen. I look forward to the day that I will also be there. I look forward to the day that trillions of people from every corner of the globe will be gathered before God's presence to receive their crowns, like the Apostle Paul said. It's going to be a wonderful day. There's no way like going to heaven. I've never been there. I look forward to the day that I will go to heaven. It's a beautiful city. The builder and maker is God. You know, when we get to heaven, there'll be no electrical bills anymore. We won't pay light bills because God's glory will fill the city. When we get to heaven, I'm not going to be driving on any dirt road anymore. I may not drive an automobile, but I'm going to walk on the street of gold. The Bible says the city is pure gold. It's a wonderful city. I look to the time that we can live a great life to honor God and bring praise unto his name, like Paul was encouraging Timothy to do the right thing. You know, when I think about the continuity aspect of the gospel, Brother Gunter, who led me to Christ, he lived in Liberia for 30 years as a missionary. And guess what? Brother Gunter has passed and he's in heaven. But the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ continues in Liberia. It's a work that we have to continue. I look forward to the day when I will also pass away. And that I mean that I'm training at my Bible college. And they will also continue the work. It's a work that we have to continue. It is a sacred charge. It is also a tax we have to perform. And may God help us. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.